Hey, I'm Peter.
And I'm Heather.
Welcome to No Greater Joy, a parenting podcast to help you raise kids who walk in God's truth all the days of their life.
Each episode will give you practical advice that will help you align your parenting with the Word of God.
Because in the end, there's no greater joy. We are back in 2023.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Heather.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Man, I'm so excited to be back. And just looking at kind of what we were able to do in the last couple months with our 8 episodes,
yeah,
it's pretty cool to see the support and the amount of conversations that are happening about parenting. I love it. Loving the podcast. And I hope that you are as well.
Absolutely.
We are excited to get into the new year. We've got some great topics that we want to tackle. We've got some great guests that we're going to have on the show. And we are just super excited about what this new year is going to bring. So I want to ask you a favor. If you're listening, if you could make sure that you give us a 5-star rating, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
And tune in. And then also, like I said, follow us on social media so you can give us feedback. Let us know what you want to talk about, what you want to hear about, so we can cover it, because we're looking to partner with you and have conversations about stuff that parents are actually facing. So I'm excited for this year. How about you, Heather?
I'm so excited. I'm excited to grow in our parenting. I'm excited. You know, New Year always brings fresh kind of, it's like a reset, right?
That's true.
It's like, okay, all the things that we've been going through, all the things, let's just take a look at everything and let's reset. So I always enjoy that. Maybe not everyone does, but I enjoy a good reset.
That's right. We have a special guest on the show with us today, and we are we're diving into the topic of special needs and parenting children with special needs.
Come on.
So as before, this will be a conversation that we continue because there's so many facets to it and so many areas and layers. And so today's just the beginning of that, but we have a special guest on with us today. Her name is Jen Matlock.
Come on, Jen.
And she is a wife and a mother of 3, and she has been on staff with us for the last years.
Our longest
running
person.
Yeah.
So she either likes us or just puts up with us.
We will find out. But also, she is the director of our ministry at our church called Champions Club, which is a ministry to kids and families with special needs kids. And it is a heartbeat of our church.
Absolutely.
And it is something that we've fallen in love with over the last few years. And so let's give it up for Jen Matlock.
Woo, Jen.
Welcome to the show, Jen. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
How many podcasts have you done in your lifetime?
0.
Me too. This is my first. I'm just jumping in. So we're going to talk about special needs parenting today. And you are a parent.
It's
have
true.
3 kids that are amazing, and they're friends with my kids. And it's pretty cool that we get to do life together. But tell us a little bit about your family and your journey with parenting a child with special needs.
Well, like you said, I have 3 kids, 2 boys and a girl. And our middle son has autism. He was diagnosed at age 3. And really, because he stopped talking just suddenly. Mm-hmm. He had started talking, and then one day he just kind of shut down. And we actually, at the time, were living in Texas. We moved all the way back to California to get a diagnosis and found out what is autism and that we were going to deal with it the rest of our life.
Yeah.
So that started a whole new journey for us, a whole new language, a whole new way of living, a whole new way of parenting.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's transformed every area of our life. Mm. Even how we arrange our furniture, believe it or not. Everything.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Everything totally affected.
Wow.
But you learn to live with it and grow with it. And it really does make life better.
Mm.
You know, once you just start accepting it and working with it instead of against it.
Yeah.
It's so good.
So.
And you have teenagers now.
Oof.
You're into the teenage phase.
I don't know if I'm ready for it, but it's hit me.
Mm-hmm.
So
it is here.
It's here.
And it has also transformed your life.
Ooh, different way.
Did you have to rearrange the furniture for the teenager?
No, it's a lot more air fresheners, I want to say. There's like acne medication around now. It's a whole new world. Lots of hormones.
You know, our journey with our kids, you know, we have a boy and a girl, so you get to see the juxtapose there of raising different kids and how they develop differently. And as a parent, you know, I'm an only child. And so when I got into this world of parenting, just realizing the differences in our kids and the way that God creates them, you quickly realize that every kid is just designed differently from their creator.
Oh, absolutely. From God.
And so you have to parent every kid different, and you have to approach every conversation and leverage point and how they learn. And, you know, I know for us with our son, we don't have a diagnosis through special needs, but we have had some delays in some of his areas of learning. And so it's caused us to have those hard meetings at the schools. And, you know, and I think this conversation about special needs parenting, you know, you might find that your kid doesn't have a diagnosis, or they do, but you might just find that your kid just learns differently from maybe their peers.
Right.
And so we face those challenges as parents. And so that's kind of what we wanted to tackle today and talk about some things that we've learned along the way. So, yeah, so we're talking about, you know, those kids and what they're facing and hopefully some resources to help with that.
Yeah. You said something just about how it changed my life, but for the better. And I feel like, you know, we've been so privileged and honored to be able to house a place for families with special needs at our church. And I find that a lot of parents that come in, they've had a hard time, you know, maybe their marriage is tough because all of their energy and all their focus is going towards the kid.
That's right.
Or whatever. And I find that that is maybe not the confession of everybody yet, like they're in a journey, right? And so maybe just talk about that a little bit, about how you got to that place. And did you always feel that way, or was there a journey to getting there?
Oh, it's a journey. It's for sure a journey. And it changes month to month, day to day.
Yeah.
Not one year looks like the last. You're constantly in a state of growing and adapting. Mm. Everything's an adaptation. You know, when we first got our diagnosis as a family, we were, oh, we're going to fix this. We were fighting against it. We were going to beat this, you know, Goliath, and we were going to tackle it head on. And, you know, what we found was a lot of frustration and a lot of anger, and it gets misdirected so quickly towards your spouse, towards your other children, towards the mailman, you know, anybody who crosses your path that day. You just get a lot of frustration built up in your life because you're working against your diagnosis. You're not really working with it to improve your life and your child's life, really. When we first started, we thought our marriage was solid. We were, we were in love. We got this. We got three young babies. We've only been married like 4 years at the time. And, we got this down. Oh, no. Life was a mess. We were, didn't know I was that kind of person. Didn't know you were that kind of person. We are cranky people right now. And it was because everybody was working in a different area, headed a different direction, fighting some way, and we were never on the same path. Our kid was going off one way and we were trying to drag him a different way, and it's just nobody was on the same page. And our journey really isn't working so much with autism specifically, so much as working with our family to be one unit that works together towards one goal.
That's good.
And that's really been what our journey is defining what our goal is, defining what our kids' goal is, how we want to be parents, and then constantly changing and adapting to meet that goal.
Wow.
That's so good. That's really good. I think, you know, I always say it all the time, there's all these pressures in the world, from whether it be social media, news outlets, you know, whatever it may look like. And everybody has an opinion about where your kid should be. The school has an opinion.
Yeah, that's right.
The church has an opinion. Everybody's got an opinion about where your kid should be. But the truth is, and I've said this in previous episodes, it's easy to get caught up in everybody else's opinion. But the truth is, at the end of the day, who did God create my kid to be? And are they meeting those things?
Oh, absolutely.
That's what's most important. Eternity is what's most important. And we definitely want to strive to hit those goals. For sure, there should always be goals in front of us. But yeah, I think that's just so good. I think it's hard sometimes.
One of the things that we see with families who face a diagnosis, you know, the families we work with at the church, is that when a family faces a diagnosis, and it can be your kids or relatives or whatever, there is a faith journey that begins that now has to realign around this diagnosis. And so it's like, I had a faith you know, system. I had my beliefs. I had my all of that. But then a diagnosis comes into the picture. And now I have to kind of reestablish what I believe about my child, what I believe about God as a creator, what I believe about his will, all of those things. There's a rediscovery that we see in family. So how was your faith journey through that diagnosis? And how did you connect with God or find God on new levels? Or, you know, what did you run to in those moments to, you know, redefine your faith around diagnosis?
Well, you know, we started off marriage and we had an idea of what it was going to look like. We had kids. We had an idea of what it was going to look like. And nothing like upsets your vision board like a diagnosis. There is no magazine cutout for that. No. Okay.
That's true.
You're just not going to get that. So we had to let go of an ideal, of that idea of what our perfect life was going to be. And we had to be kind of angry and work through that. I mean, there was a brief period where I was pretty mad at God. I was pretty upset with, why did you do this? But again, I was butting heads with what God had planned for me. You know, it wasn't me accepting, hey, you turn everything in my life for your good. You turn it into your good. And I have to learn to listen to you. Yeah. I have to learn to respect what you want for me. Yeah. And that was the big thing, was I had to respect God's way before my way. Mm. And that was hard because I'm that I want to control everything.
Sure.
I want to vacuum everything twice to make it look perfect. Those lines in the rug. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
They need to be perfect. But you can't get that with a diagnosis. It's messy. It's so messy. And there's just all the feels.
Yeah.
So really our journey has been allowing ourselves to feel the things we feel, but then really, hey, is this reality? Mm-hmm. Is this God's way? And then making sure, realigning, are we on the right path? Is this pointing us towards God? And getting rid of that shame you feel for being kind of mad at God occasionally and saying, no, there's grace for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's grace for that, but you know, you still have to get back on the track. Yeah. You still have to get yourself realigned. And really our hardest times haven't been when our son has had the hardest time. It's been when we are off track.
Yeah. Mm.
So when we're aligned together, when we're working together as a team, it's the easiest, no matter what his behaviors are, no matter what is coming our way, it's the easiest time we have because we're on the same page, we're fighting together, and we're like working, going down the road hand in hand.
That's so good.
And so, and really it's hand in hand, not just with your spouse, not just with your other kids, but with God.
Yeah.
Like God has to be right at the center.
Wow.
You just really don't stand a chance.
Well, I figure that's true for all of us listening, right?
Absolutely.
Your parenting is better when you're as a family in line and in unity with what God's plan is and working together. That's powerful because I think it gives hope to us, regardless of where our kids are at, that there is a better plan if we follow God's way.
I feel like it takes some of the pressure off too, because I think as parents, we feel like we have to have it all together.
Yeah.
Like we have to have all the answers. And the truth is we don't. And the truth is these are God's kids first. He's going to have the best plan. So I think we forget sometimes in the middle of the hard times when we're parenting, whatever it is, diagnosis or teenage years or toddler years, because Lord knows you need Jesus in the toddler years, you know?
Yes.
But, you know, I think we forget that God's way is the right way. And we feel like we have to come up with a solution. You know, you had mentioned a couple times, it's been brought up several times in your conversation about your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
How important is the marriage aspect, who you are together in this whole journey?
Well, it's honestly, it's the most important thing.
Mm.
You know, it's God, marriage, kids.
Mm.
And in that order,
you know,
if you're not okay with God, your marriage is going to suffer. If you're not okay in your marriage, your kids are going to suffer.
Mm.
And it trickles down like that.
Wow.
And so really, you know, making sure that my kids see me loving and honoring my husband, making sure that my husband is loving and honoring me. That's the greatest gift we give our kids. And it's the best example. You know, if they're going to be fighting and bickering with one another, But, you know, 2 hours ago I was fighting and bickering with my husband. It's really not far-fetched to see, you know, it trickle down like that. Right. You know, our marriage wasn't always phenomenal. It's grown to be that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's really, it really is the most important thing.
Yeah.
You know, and there are people listening who maybe they're single parenting, you know, or we've talked about it before. There's just so many variations of the family that are listening. And so, you know, I think the key here is that you put God at the center.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And that works as a couple, that works as a single parent, that works as a foster family, that Absolutely. Works as a grandparent raising kids. You put God at the center and you focus on him, and then the goodness of God trickles down, that covering, the blessing. And so, you know, that's the story of our life, and it's something that we want to make sure that we talk about as much as we can.
Right.
You know, it's better together with God for sure. One of the things that I've seen as an outsider walking with you and seeing your journey and all that is, I know that you've talked about in the past that, you know, with the diagnosis, there was things that the doctors foretold you that was like, this is who your kid is going to be.
Yeah.
Right. And that's kind of the scary part about diagnosis, is they kind of make some statements or, you know, give you some heads up on what you might see. And I know that when we work with families with kids who have special needs, it's like we celebrate and rejoice in the little miracles that we get to see.
Yeah.
On the weekends, you know, those kids who maybe they don't speak and they get to say their first words. Or maybe they are struggling in some areas of development and we see that growth. Those are the miracles that we celebrate. And so I know for your son, there were some things that the doctors told you, but, you know, how did that journey of seeing your son overcome, like I'm thinking about him just playing a rock concert downtown, playing the drums for the show, you know, that journey of like, this is what the doctor said, but I had to push through, again, opinions to see the goodness that God had called your son to.
Yeah.
How was that journey?
Well, you know, when he, like I said that earlier, but when we first got the diagnosis, he wasn't speaking, and he didn't speak for a full year after we had begun therapy. And when we started, we just sort of blindly accepted and took everything the doctor said as just, that's a fact.
Yeah.
But with special needs, there's so much in the air, so much changes all the time, and there's so much progress in kids and in technology and therapies and all that. Everything's up in the air. And on top of it, you know, there's nothing really that can stand up against a praying mother.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in my son's corner fighting, praying daily. And that does a lot. That does a huge amount. When he wasn't talking, you know, it wasn't just I'm praying for him to talk. It was I'm praying that I can just understand him.
Mm.
And when I could, that was a celebration.
Yeah.
And then when he did start talking, he only spoke in Thomas the Train phrases.
Yes.
I remember that phase of his life.
Yeah. So when he got really upset, he would, "You cheeky engine." You know, and
I love that.
Oh, the indignity and all the little catchphrases of that show. But and it was really cute and then really frustrating and kind of cute again. But but again, we were working with it, and it was, you know, adapting to it. You know, he started counting because we got the numbers off the trains and we were able to pair up. You know, it's just adapting. They didn't think he was going to be able to call me a cheeky engine, but then he was, you know. Yeah. So that kind of one small hope leads to the next hope.
Yes.
And okay. you have to let that hope sink in and just continue to feed you.
Yeah.
However small it is, you know, maybe if you have no movement, well, if you flex your finger one day, okay, I've got hope. I'm going to use my whole hand again. You know, it's a tiny little thing that you got to just see those tiny things as monumental wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's honestly, it's the little wins that I can remember celebrating the most.
Yeah.
Mm. He's, like you said, he's fully functioning. He's playing drums downtown. He's living his best life.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But I still remember and get so emotional when he hits these milestones. He plays a concert and I'm in tears in the background, just sobbing away.
Yeah. I was too.
Yeah. Just praising God and sobbing away. And I embarrass the heck out of him. But you know what? But you know what? Praise God. Praise God for the opportunity to cry in the back and embarrass him.
That's right. So good.
You know, and I think that is something for all of us as parents to hold on to.
Oh, yeah.
you know, the opinions of man are sometimes helpful and resourceful,
mm-hmm.
but ultimately God has a bigger plan.
That's right.
And that's one of the things that I love and I think is a testimony to this ministry that we're doing is being able to tell parents, maybe you're just starting a diagnosis journey or you're realizing there's some differences in your development of your child and you're kind of wondering that whatever you face, the good news is that God has a plan for that child's life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He formed them in your womb. He knows them. He created them.
Right.
And I have seen so many amazing testimonies of these kids that we work with who have gifts and callings on their life. And I love yeah. watching them flourish. And so, you know, be encouraged today if you're listening as a parent, yeah. whatever you're facing, it's not what defines them.
Right.
It's not who they're ultimately going to be when they grow up. And so
that's right.
God's plan for them is... Sorry, I'm getting emotional. God's plan for them is a big deal.
Yeah.
So what are some like helpful tools that you've picked up along the way that you're like, these were things that really helped me, maybe little techniques or things that you learned or focused on that really helped you guys as a family to stay in unity.
Yeah.
And to help your son and the rest of your kids thrive.
Yeah.
Stuff that you do as a family, things that you're like, this became a priority because we, you know, we learned these things along the way.
Well, I'll say at first, my attack of the problem here, right? Because it was a problem back then, was I'm going to organize my way out of this.
Mm.
There's going to be some sensory toy. There's going to be some book out there that's really going to fix all my problems. And I'm really just got to keep spending money and I got to keep doing all these things until that's the Pinterest land. Get off Pinterest right now. Just see it. Walk away. Walk away. Really, it was developing a healthy me time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean like I go out to the spas. I don't mean I'm spending a fortune on like getting my hair done and all that kind of stuff. I mean like waking up a little bit early before my kids get up so that I can read my Bible and really spend time in the Word, just focusing on what God has for me so that I can fill up my cup enough that it overflows onto my son, onto my marriage, onto everything else. Because if I'm in a bad place, that's it. You know, that sets the tone.
Yeah.
You know, mom and dad set the tone and I'm the one who's home. So it's me. I set the tone for that day.
Right.
And if I'm not in a good place and if I'm not, you know, feeling, I'm just not in a good mood, you know, I'm just kind of hangry, whatever it is, it's going to reflect on how I parent. So it's really important. I take care of myself.
So true.
You know, it makes, I got to drink the water.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't want to, I got to drink less coffee. I got to, you know, I got to take care of how I handle myself. And really it's being in the Word and finding the words that are encouraging the most, you know, I think I was talking to you earlier today about reading Ephesians.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. The grace, you know, chapter 1 and 2. Ooh. I got it every day. I read those sometimes multiple times a day. Go back. God gave me this life. God, this is a gift. God gave me love. God gave me grace. It's there for me. Even when it feels hard, it's a constant reminder.
So good.
But it's having those tools in my back pocket.
Yeah.
You know, it's having that, okay, I know this is what encourages me.
Yeah.
I got to have that ready to go just in case.
That's so good. I think you mentioned something really important too about the fight. You had brought up the fight, right? And I think this is part of fighting well, right? There's things that we're fighting against as parents, but I think, and you know, Peter had mentioned, we had to fight a bit with the school to get, you know, not the school itself. The school was great, but we had to fight to get our son the accommodations he needed. And if you're not careful, I have found that it's easy to come into any conversation about my son with a bit of a defense. And so maybe you could talk about the fight a little bit.
Well, it's easy to fight. I'll say that. You really do have to fight for your child. You have to advocate for your kid every day, multiple areas of his life, all the time. And that cultural image of special needs parenting is this like warrior mother who's gonna take on the world for her son, and it's easy to be stuck in warrior mode, right? You need to be a warrior, but you also have to be able to take off that armor, you know? You've got to be able to set it down and love on people just as much as you want them to love on you. And you can't do that with a sword in your hand. Uh-huh. You know, you've really got to break down your barriers occasionally and be vulnerable. Because when you fight all the time, it's easy to get stuck in the fight. Wow. Mm-hmm. It's easy to be in war mode and you're just going all the time. But then what happens is, you know, your relationships start to suffer a little bit. Your friendships get a little awkward. You know, it's, you know, the checkout guy says, would you like paper or plastic? And you're like, I told you I want plastic. And it's just, oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. You know, it can get out of hand pretty quick. It really gets away from you. But it's, again, it's that spending time in the Word, being vulnerable every morning is going to create that softness and those tools and the wisdom to discern, like, hey, this person is on my side. I'm not fighting anymore. Yeah. You know, this, you know, and then when you are fighting, you know, maybe we're not going for the throat every time. We're, you know, it's, we're not on full attack. We want to make sure that when we're fighting, we're doing it with grace. Mm. And we're using, you know, kind words, you know, just like we tell our kids, kind words.
Yeah.
You want to make sure we're not fully attacking the school principal.
Yeah, yeah.
We're really working with people. Because at the end of the day, these teams, these people, they volunteered to be there. Mm. They want to be on your side. So when you walk into church, when you walk into school, when you walk into therapy, all these people volunteered to be there to help your kid. They're on your side even when you disagree with them.
Mm. Mm, that's good.
So it's really just that discernment that you're asking God for every day.
And what would you say, maybe we can even land here, what would you say is like to the rest of the world out there that is all going, hey, we want to help, we want to reach in, we want to help you. How can, what would you say to the people on the outside looking in? How can we best support families that have kiddos with special needs? And this wasn't on the notes, so I'm totally throwing this at her last second on the fly. But what would you say would be, maybe we just pick one thing. What is the most helpful thing somebody can do for your family, even in this season that you're in?
I think honestly, and I can get emotional here too, but when my friends and family and the people around me, when they treat me like I'm not a special needs mom, that's when I feel it the most. When I'm just Jen, when I'm just your friend, I'm just your daughter, that's when it feels the best, because then I'm not defined by this special needs. I'm just a mom. I'm just somebody who's here trying to raise a kid, trying to be married, trying to be a daughter, you know, of God, and just live life the best I can. And when you can see that, and when you can treat me like that, that's when it really, it's like, okay, that's, you're my friend. You're good people. Let's stay close.
Yeah, that's good.
So good.
We were talking about just maybe what you're learning or what you're reading, you know, kind of keeping you sharp in parenting and in life and all that stuff. So you said there was a book that you'd read recently.
I've been on this minimalism.
Nice.
You know, new year, new me, all that. Trying to shed all of the excess, right? And so a good friend of mine recommended the book Essentialism. I can't remember the author now, but it really did make me think. It's all about learning to say no to things that are not leading you towards your goal. Mm-hmm. You know, my goal is that my kid feels loved, feels not just loved, but the love of God every day. Mm-hmm. And if what I'm doing or what I'm, you know, saying yes to doesn't align with that, oh, it's got to go.
So
and
good.
As painful and as awkward as it can be, I've got to learn to say no. And that book was really clear. It was pretty ruthless. It was, you got to do it. Just put on the big girl pants and do it.
That's awesome.
So you mentioned in the vein of minimalist, you mentioned rearranging the furniture.
Yeah.
Well, we got to know.
Yeah.
So you guys have a boy.
Yes.
Boys are rambunctious.
Yes.
Okay,
it's true. They break stuff.
They break all so the time. Much. Okay, I've had four sofas. Okay. They break. They are not straight. So, okay, you've got to rearrange so that you're in optimal run around. Have you ever seen a dog do zoomies?
Yes.
This is so bad, but kids do zoomies.
100%. Okay?
They run around. They've got those Nerf guns. And really just arranging my house so that they can do these things. It did mean getting rid of some lamps. It did mean getting rid of some really decorative vases. But yeah, widening the spaces.
So good.
Yeah.
Making the crash zone.
Oh, yeah.
We love a good crash pad. That's one of the things that's a staple in any of our rooms that we create for kids with special needs. It's like a place to just plop and feel comfortable, feel loved. I love that. Changing your house. We definitely have done that. And
yes,
the boys, they do break things. They put them to the test.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, we're going to wrap up there. And I just want to thank you for just all that you pour into not only your family, but the families of our church.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage everyone listening that, you know, if you have found yourself in the season of finding differences in your kids or going through a diagnosis, your church most likely wants to support you.
Yes.
And maybe they don't know how. Maybe they don't have the tools or whatever. But, you know, working with them, I know from a pastor's perspective, they do love your family and care. They want to support you. So just helping them and having conversations and trying to work together to find solutions for your kid is really important. And if you have to find a church that has a ministry for special needs, you know, there are some out there and we can definitely help you in your area if you need. We recommend, you know, those ones that we know. But, you know, just partner. That's the thing I want to say is just try and open conversations and work with them as opposed to saying they're just going to reject me and I'm just going to go find another place. Try to
put that sword down. Let us help you.
Try to get involved in a conversation when saying, hey, here's my child's needs. What can we do to overcome and make a plan? And that's what we really try to do with our Champions Club. And so let's pray for the parents today. And just thanks for all that you do, Jen. And you're a big part of our church and our story. And we really appreciate you.
Yeah.
So, Father, we thank you for all the parents listening today. I just pray for everyone that may be in that zone of noticing some differences in their kids or facing a diagnosis. I just pray that you would just lift up their spirits today. I just pray that you would encourage them. Your spirit is a comforter. Your spirit is a friend. It's a guide. It's a counselor. And I just pray that you would just fill us today as we seek you as parents and try to become better. And I just pray that anybody who's listening who maybe has felt stuck in, I don't know how to best help my kid, or I don't know how to partner with the church. God, I just pray that these would open up the doors to conversations where we can partner together and find solutions. And it's not just about special needs. It's about all of the needs that our kids have. And so I pray that you would help us to partner together to help see our kids fulfilled and on mission for you and following the call in their life. And so we thank you for these blessings of kids. And I pray you encourage and lift up these parents today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys, we love you. We'll see you on the next one. Thanks for listening to this episode of No Greater Joy.
For more episodes and resources, visit stowministries.com, where you'll also find links to connect with us on social media.
Parenting can be tough, so let's stick together.
Because in the end, there's no greater joy.